Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne, live in studio with Rich Calkins and Keith Gave. And Keith, are you sweating it? You've got your Sparties heading down to the Horseshoe in a game that, Rich, you just said, no love for Michigan State. Maybe Mel Tucker can just put his contract on the line and boost the...
Well, you know, the first thing that when Mel Tucker walks in the Horseshoe Saturday, Ryan Day's going to go up and shake his hand and say, thanks a lot, man, because Ryan Day's going to get a raise after Mel Tucker signs for $95 million for 10 years. I don't think it's a done deal yet, but it sounds
thanks,
like...
Thanks, Matt Ishbia.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's Steve St. Andre, too. A guy yes, exactly. Of course, we know Matt Ishbia being on the Michigan State basketball team at one time, owns the second-rated mortgage company in the entire country. And good for him going back to his alma mater and giving tons of money.
Let me tell you a really funny story about that. So Ishbia went to Seaholm, right, which is where Nick Coyne played basketball, and Ishbia was a couple years ahead of him. And he was, you know, a darling, right? It was a walk-on, sat at the end of the bench, became a grad assistant, and Tom Izzo got him an interview, and pretty much he had a job waiting for him to be the video coordinator for the Golden State Warriors.
Wow.
Okay? Now, that is an entree position for you to get into the coaching profession in the NBA.
Yep.
And I ran into Matt. I knew him a little bit. I knew his dad a little bit better. And I said, Matt, that's really exciting stuff. You know, Izzo's got you're going to love San Francisco, man. I lived there for 4 years. He goes, no, I'm going to stay here and get into the mortgage business with my dad. And I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Turns out he wasn't out of his mind.
Like he was not out of his mind. But that is an absolute true story.
That is hilarious.
Now he's a billionaire, and he's giving a lot of his money
away.
That's
right.
And
I got to run into him and see if he can pick up my mortgage.
No doubt.
I mean, you're right. He is... he's been very generous to Michigan State University, and to give Mel Tucker a contract like this and make him a lifer in East Lansing.
Well, that's the question. We'll see what the whole terms are.
Sure.
Right.
What the coach's buyout is.
Right.
You know, you'd like to think that, but you know, beware of signing coaches to big contracts, Jim Harbaugh. Or Scott Frost. I mean, look at Scott. I was talking to this about somebody else, Rich. How parallel are Scott Frost and Jim Harbaugh right now?
Scary. Yeah. Scary parallels.
Crazy.
It is crazy, yeah. No doubt there's direct parallels for sure. But obviously what Ishbia and St. Andre are doing, they're playing keep away from LSU. Obviously LSU was going to come knocking, and they're like, we want no part of this. We've seen good coaches leave MSU, go down, Nick Saban. And then all of a sudden, Nick Saban is who he is, and they want to keep that away. And I'm not saying that Mel Tucker is, you know, that.
He's done a phenomenal job.
Amazing
up to this
job.
Point. You know, I was listening to some guy on the radio driving in here this morning, and, you know, and some of what he said was true. Some of it was not about, well, nobody wants to go to Michigan or Michigan State. They all want to go to LSU. I go, well, really? If Michigan or Michigan State play LSU tomorrow, who's winning that football game? How great is Alabama? Is this a down year? Is the with the transfer portals and all the new diversity and the NIL licenses? I don't know. You know, with the signing of Tucker, how much spotlight is that going to put on bigger transfers and bigger recruits? Mm-hmm. Because, well, I can get me an NIL license for with UWM.
No kidding. Yeah. isn't that the truth? This will make him the highest paid black coach in all of sports, which is
sports history, probably.
In sports history.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
but
cool.
There are 25 coaches in the U.S. making the 25 highest paid coaches in sports all make more than $8 million a year, led by Bill Belichick, $18 million, Pete Carroll, $12 million, Sean Payton, $12 million, Andy Reid, $12 million, Greg Popovich, $11.5 million. and so on down to Steve Kerr at $9.5 million. But you know, Mel Tucker is joining the ranks of Nick Saban and others. And like I said earlier, there's a guy in Columbus who's had some pretty good success in a few short years down there. Ryan Day is going to get a raise.
Is Ryan Day thinking hang 100 tomorrow?
That's the one thing that worries me, JC, about this game tomorrow is the distractions about this contract. We're going to learn a little something about Mel Tucker. He's been a little preoccupied maybe with this contract. Will he have his team ready tomorrow?
He's never had the media spotlight quite like he's probably had this week, for sure, doing more press conferences, doing
national
things
news.
Like that.
Well, it shouldn't be as big a distraction as like what it was, you know, when Les Miles was thinking about coming to Michigan and all that crap. So, you know, this is a less of a distraction than coach, what are you going to do? I remember, you know, that was the whole burning thing that people got so pissed at Herb Street about cornering Miles and then finding out, oh, no, I'm not leaving LSU.
Right.
And, well, it probably turned out a good thing for Michigan, although Michigan got Rich Rod, and we can go on and on about that. But switching to on the field, to me, there's only one way that Michigan State can win this football, guys. They have to take the opening kickoff. They have to grind out a drive with Walker, get up 7-0. If they have to play from behind, they got no shot.
I agree. Ohio State's their offense is really, really dangerous, and they're going to score a lot of points. I think Michigan State can score points back. Can they outscore Ohio State? I don't know, but it ain't going to be a 19-point differential like Vegas is predicting.
It could be if they play from behind.
Right.
Ohio State scores in the first 3 minutes of the touchdown. Michigan State doesn't answer them right back. It's they're down 14-0. I'm just saying.
That's right. Yeah, and speaking of that offense of Ohio State, they average over 8 yards per play. Per play. I mean, that's crazy.
But they've only played one defense that's in the top 25, and that's
true.
Oregon.
46 points a game, 550 yards a game. So they've got it going right now. They have an excellent receiving core. The DBs will be tested by Michigan State. And, Jerry, in my notes preparing yesterday, I wrote exactly, Michigan State offense needs to grind out the clock. They don't score in big plays. Have these 10, 14, 12-play drives. Take time off the clock, move the chains, and take the air out of the ball so Ohio State starts to feel pressure that they have to score then, and so you flip the switch a little bit.
Well, you know, the Penn State defense, that game was the closest game that Ohio State's played. That was the only game they played that's under 30 points this year, I believe. Michigan State has not proved to be that solid defensively all year. We'll see if Michigan can do that next week because Michigan has a better defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people were talking about, well, Purdue's got a pretty good defense. No, they don't.
Right.
You know.
No, they don't.
No. You know, it might have looked like that on paper for the teams that they had played up to that point. And Michigan State, you know, helped them out by turning the ball over. You got to convert third downs, Rich.
Yeah.
That's the other biggest thing that Michigan State can do. You know, I know Tucker would like to present a better defensive plan, but I don't know if he's got the animals to do it, Keith.
That's right. That's going to be the issue, I think. I think Kenneth Walker is going to have a pretty good day. I think he can run the ball on that team. And if they try and stop him, like Michigan did, they can throw the ball a little bit too. So it's going to be a really interesting game. I think the best bet of the weekend is Michigan State in the 19 points.
I wouldn't argue that point with you. I've got them on the list as well. Like I told you, what they're looking at in Vegas is a replay of the Purdue-Michigan State game. That's exactly what they're looking at.
Yep.
And, you know, State is way better at home than they are on the road, like most Big Ten teams.
Yep.
So, but they have a history of going into Ohio State and messing up a Buckeye season. And, boy, would they love to do it. Look, if Michigan State can happen to win this football game, they're going to the playoffs, almost certainly. Unless they pooped the bet against Penn State.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought when that spread came out initially, I saw that 19-point underdog as Michigan State. I thought immediately, Keith, I'm like, that no respect to Michigan State whatsoever.
It's disrespectful.
It is.
Yes.
And that's Mel Tucker's motivational speech.
That's it.
You put that on the bulletin board. This is what the whole country, is what Vegas thinks of you guys.
Yep.
And that's all you need to do.
Well, that's fine. Yes, this is this has been up to this point a very good Ohio State offense. But again, who have they played? The Marylands, the Rutgers, and everything else. So, hey, I've been into the Horseshoe. I've seen teams come in there. I've been there when Michigan has beaten Ohio State on the road. This is not a legendary Ohio State team. The defense has tons of questions.
Yep.
Another thing that, obviously turnovers are going to be big. Michigan State cannot afford to turn the football over at all. They need to turn over Ohio State.
Right.
And special teams is going to have to be huge.
That's enough. They need to be +2, +3 in the turnover battle. I mean, they have to. I really think they have to steal some possessions from Ohio State. Because like you said, who do they talk about at Ohio State? Only the offensive players. You don't hear anything about any of their defensive players because they just don't have them this year. So they're all geared up on offense this year for sure.
They changed defensive coordinators. It's been a little bit better. But then again, who has it been against?
Right.
I mean, Ohio State has really only played two good football teams this year. Oregon, that they lost to, and Penn State, that they would have lost to if they played at Penn State.
Right. That's right.
Yep,
okay.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, that's where it is. You know, but you could say the same thing about Michigan State. Who's Michigan State played? Michigan.
They won at Miami.
Miami.
It's an average team. I get it. But it was at Miami. It was at Nebraska. They've won on the road fairly convincingly.
And you mentioned
there's a reason why. There's a reason why, and it's not because of the helmets, Keith, that the football playoff guys think Michigan's a better football team than Michigan State. Michigan should have won that football game. How they lost it is just kind of a mystery. And not often does the playoff committee not take head-to-head games under consideration. If Michigan played Michigan State 10 times on a neutral field, Michigan wins 6 or 7 of those games. Now, it doesn't matter any given Saturday. What's going to happen? I think everything that you guys have said is absolutely true. Can Mel Tucker and this defense come up with some stops? If they can get Ohio State off the field a few times, this is a football game. If it's a track meet, they're toast.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. Again, that's about the whole thing of taking the air out of the ball. Grind out those possessions. Time of possession needs to favor Michigan State heavily, I believe, and I think that's the game plan going in for sure. And the Thorn kid, the quarterback, that kid has done a really nice job.
I agree.
He's taking care of the ball.
Yep.
He'll throw it downfield. How healthy are the receivers for Michigan State? Keith, you would probably know better than I. But he's done a nice job, and if he takes care of the football tomorrow, things could be really interesting in Columbus.
I don't have a problem at all with Michigan being rated ahead of Michigan State by one slot in the college football playoff poll. I kind of agree with them. Overall, I think Michigan is a better team overall. It's all going to sort itself out the next couple
absolutely.
Of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the fun part of college football. But, the AP rankings has Michigan State 7 and Michigan 8.
Right.
That's the sports writers,
Yeah.
And I think
the coaches poll has the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, again, their polls are polls are polls. The guys in suits, men and women in suits on the college football playoff committee, some argue that they know a little bit more. Some argue that they know a lot less.
Now, they probably do know a lot less, and there's some political
big time
machinations in there. I mean,
Oregon
ahead
is
of
third.
Ohio State.
Oregon's third, Ohio State 4.
Because on top of the fact that Oregon went to Ohio State and won.
Right. Yes.
Now, Oregon's got a really tough game against Utah.
They're a three-point underdog, I believe.
Stinks, guys? I'll tell you what stinks to high heaven. Bo Nix from Auburn goes down with a broken ankle. So now Alabama doesn't have to worry about the Iron Bowl.
Right.
I thought for sure that was setting up for an Alabama defeat.
Sure. Yeah. It would be prime for that kid who's been through a lot at Auburn to come and beat Alabama. That would have been the icing on
really,
the cake for that kid.
I saw that come across the thing, and I'm like, Nick Saban, you lucky son of a bitch.
Yep.
But we haven't talked about Michigan, Maryland, and guys, this does have the smell of a trap game
sure.
So, you know, Michigan defense is going to have to be really good.
Yeah.
I think if you can slow down this Maryland passing offense, then it should be a win. Thankfully, the games are going on at the same time. I'd hate to for Michigan State and Ohio State to have played, and then Michigan has the 3:30 game. They've got the time to just concentrate on it. Although, you know, if you've ever been at Michigan Stadium, they will be announcing those scores.
Oh, yeah.
And one way or the other, you'll hear the groans, right? Ohio State 24, Michigan State 3.
Did they change the starting time? I got Michigan State and Ohio State at noon. And Michigan and Maryland at 3:30.
I didn't know that.
And isn't Michigan going to Maryland?
No.
Michigan is at Maryland.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah,
at
Michigan
Maryland.
Is at Maryland.
Yeah, I think it's there.
They're at Maryland.
I do believe it is at Maryland.
56.5 points.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
So I agree about the whole trap game business. They got to be careful. I think Harbaugh's going to have this team ready. Maryland is they can throw the ball. They threw the ball a little bit against Michigan State. What happened in the end? Michigan State pulled away. Michigan will too. I like Michigan easily covering the 15 points.
Really? I do not.
It's a good precursor for the Ohio State game, too. It'll get them how they throw the ball, different things like that. I think it'll test that defense and really get them ready for next week.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Michigan State also played Maryland at home.
That's true.
And Michigan's on the road.
Yeah.
And
that
in the Big Ten is probably more than the 3.5 that they get
good
at pro.
Home. Yeah.
And plus, there's no love lost between Harbaugh and the Maryland's coach.
Loxley. Former offensive coordinator.
And you got Gaddis on the other side. So there's some interesting things there. They've got some tangled up. There's some other interesting games. You know, again, we talked about this briefly last week. Who is Georgia playing tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
Southern or?
Charleston Southern.
Charleston.
There's no line on the game, obviously.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
We talked about Alabama last week.
It's
all these cupcakes
SEC.
Toward the end of the season in the SEC. It's like, what the hell's going on?
Let's give them a second bye.
Texas A&M. They're number 16 in the country. They're playing Prairie View A&M. Yeah. No line on the game.
If they have a candidate for the Heisman, it's a big game, and so they go crazy, or it gives their twos and threes opportunity to play.
Nobody
and
gets
see
hurt.
What they are. Yes,
they get a tune up like you have at the beginning of the year just to get everything settled for the big games that are happening next week.
I find it borderline
vomitous.
Yep.
But since we're gonna before we get out to the end of the segment, I do want to talk about some very interesting football games tomorrow where teams are playing games of note. Like, how is Wake Forest a 4.5-point underdog against Clemson?
It's at Clemson.
Yep. Yeah. I like that game a lot. Iowa State is a 3.5-point underdog. I think Oklahoma's a fraud.
Yeah.
They are. Obviously, everybody does because they went from
four
to 13.
I was 6 out of 7 on my birthday last week in college football.
Really?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo.
Including having Baylor on the money line.
Way to go.
I gave it all back in the pros the next day. which I think should be a very good football game, although the pundits don't seem to think so at all. SMU-Cincinnati. Cincinnati is scraped by in every game. SMU's got a pretty good football team. They're getting 11.5.
Yep.
Knowing that they're not a Power 5 school, they've needed to win with style points. And they haven't done it this year. They just haven't done it.
And everybody's going, well, this is the game they're going to do it. Well, that's fine. But this is the best football team they've played since Notre Dame.
Right.
number 3 Oregon at number 23 Utah, yeah, and Utah is a 3-point favorite.
Utah is very tough to win at home. Their home winning record is right there, like with Boise State. You know, it's just one of those places that's tough to play.
Yeah.
Oregon's got some guys that are banged up.
Yeah.
They're playing a second string quarterback.
Okay, and then you get to see the Detroit Lions' first overall pick, Thibodeau. Watch him play.
They better take him instead of Kenny Pickett or some other quarterback.
Oh, yeah, you can't go quarterback number one over. There isn't one that just stands out.
No.
How about this one? UCLA minus 3.5 at USC. Got the big Bruins shirt on today.
It's the uniform bowl. The matchup of some of the best uniforms.
I see you're watching ESPN. you know, there is no home field advantage in this game.
No.
Whether you're playing at the Coliseum, what do they call that? Not the Coliseum. They do call it the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Where they had the Olympics in 1920. Yeah, that's how old that place is. Or the Rose Bowl, where I've told you guys many, many times, I went to one football game at the Rose Bowl to see UCLA play because you go and party, and then people would get so drunk they wouldn't get on the free buses, that they would take you out to the Rose Bowl. So UCLA is the better football team for sure. And but there's a history of this game of underdogs winning the UCLA-USC game. And but you know, it's just very briefly, and we're going to head to break. I'm kind of sad that this game is not taking place. It used to be the lineup was Ohio State, Michigan, Oklahoma, Nebraska, USC, UCLA. You had that weekend, that Saturday after
those
Thanksgiving.
Those classic matchups were that one day, like you said, and it was just nirvana.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was so great. I mean, as a kid growing up, I remember the Gary Beben, O.J. Simpson.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You know, and you had, you know, superstars on all, you know, that was just a great weekend. And almost uniformly, the team that won the Ohio State-Michigan game was going to play the team that won
the USC-UCLA game. That's right.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say this on the air, but I will. I watched this game for the sidelines. The cheerleaders on both sides of the field. Southern California girls.
Oh,
I mean, again, from my teenage years till now, it is worth the price of admission.
There's no doubt about it, and we'll talk about that off the air. When we return, we will take a big look at the NFL schedule and a new quarterback for the Detroit Lions, guys. But the NFL season is giving us a big Week 11 divisional matchup between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger. FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can bet you can win $150 on a $5 bet. My money, guys, is on the Seahawks, especially Kyler Murray. Coming in that game, if his ankle isn't right, he's just not the same quarterback. FanDuel is the number one sports book in America because it's sports betting made simple.
It's easy to use, safe and secure. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. Already a FanDuel Sportsbook user? FanDuel is hooking all customers up with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 too. Just invite them using your exclusive referral link at the refer icon. Just sign up with promo code WGRY this week before the Cardinals take on the Seahawks.
You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use the promo code WGRY exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook app. Exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook app, 21 and over, and present in the state of Michigan, new users only, $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designed offer market, max bonus $150. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Up North Sports Radio, Friday Face-Off. That's how I met my wife. She bought me a drink. Welcome back to Friday Face-Off here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne, the very tall, good-looking Jerry Coyne. Keith Gabrich-Cawkins live in our studios here. And, guys, it is getting, as I mentioned to you in the last break, you know, I had a great weekend in college football and got my ass handed to me in the NFL.
2 weeks in a row, probably, right?
No, it's just really getting hard to figure out what's going to happen in the NFL, although we did have the Lions covering, right, in one of the great pillow fights of all time.
Oh, God.
But, you know, and I, if Goff was playing, I would like the Lions in this spot here, but Boyle.
Is Goff officially out?
No. No, but he hasn't practiced.
Okay.
I don't think
he's got that strained oblique, right? Is that what they're calling it?
Doesn't sound like he's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, and then he's got, what, 3 more days to get ready for the Bears on Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, yeah.
I mean, the Browns are a mess.
But Nick Chubb is
Nick Chubb just got activated, so that's a huge difference.
Well, and especially with Boyle. Let's face facts. The Lions, the best thing they got going for them is that offensive line.
Yes.
Although I heard Decker's hurt again.
Oh, no. Yeah. They were pretty good. They were opening up holes that you could drive a truck through.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Whoa.
But, I mean, this is the biggest mystery. One of the biggest, because there's a lot of NFL mysteries. Why is the Browns defense not better than it is? I mean, they got Myles Garrett. They've got two really good linebackers. First, I mean, they've got talent all over that defense. I mean, I would have fired the D coordinator weeks ago. But I think you see the Browns defense handle, if DeAndre Swift doesn't go off, the Lions are in big trouble.
Right.
And he's questionable.
And now that, you know, like, if they do play Boyle or even if they have Jared Goff, you know, what do you do? You stop the run, and then you make them throw it, and it's going to turn out well for the Browns.
You know, just to parse the Lions a little bit, Amon St. Ron, I think, is going to stick around. I think he's a football player.
He's a tough kid. He doesn't mind blocking. No.
He'll go over the middle.
Yep.
You know, Hockenson is a better-than-average tight end, although I don't know how great he is because it's so hard to figure out because he's the focus of
key mistakes at the worst times.
And taking bad penalties.
Oh, I know.
He took a couple of bad penalties the other day,
and he missed
some big blocks.
I know it.
They have got to do. I don't know what the NFL is going to do about officiating, but it is atrocious. There's so many flags. The game gets bogged down. Let's go back. Put 3 officials on the field that are, you know, and then call everything in the booth. It's got to change. The taunting and it didn't used to be. Now NFL refs have egos. It used to be just NBA refs have egos.
Right,
you know.
Right.
I mean, you see the referees wearing medium shirts now because they got big guns.
Oh yeah. No. It's tough to figure out what the NFL wants to do. You know, the No Fun League is in full of fledged form today. Let's go through the sheets. We talked about the Lions, so we'll stay there.
The 11.5 points Cleveland is giving, right?
Yeah.
11.5.
I still don't think the Lions are going to cover that.
I don't either.
I agree. Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. The Eagles, who have been really hard to figure out, are a 1.5 favorite at home against the Saints. I like the Eagles here, even though the Saints' defense is good. Kamara is out again.
Oh, Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, so, you know, he is such a difference maker. Him and then who's the wide receiver that got hurt again? Jackson.
Julius Jones?
No, Michael.
Thomas. Yeah.
It is just a massive hole in that Saints offense. But, you know, take all of these picks with a grain of salt. Tell me about the Miami Dolphins.
You just can't. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason. The NFL's been the weirdest it's been in years, I think. Yeah. It's just these scores, you'll look at them on Sunday, and you're like, how did that happen?
Yeah. Miami's -3 at the Jets. We got them, yeah.
3.5.
3.5, wow.
You know, I thought Saleh might have had things turned around, and then they get absolutely stone-kicked.
Yeah.
Last week, so next. The Carolina Panthers are giving 3.5 to Washington. You know, I like the moxie of the Washington football team. That should be an interesting game with Cam probably going to start against Ron Rivera. And it was cute that he scored a couple of touchdowns when they put him in place. And I think that Washington might be rounding into shape, but they lose Chase Young. That can't be a big help.
For the season.
Yeah.
I like Taylor Heinicke, though. I really do.
That kid, he showed in the playoffs last year, it was his coming out party. I'm like, who is this kid? And for him to play as well as he did against Tampa Bay, it was shocking.
But the thing that I saw that was the most coolest thing about Carolina going down and beating Arizona is how McCaffrey was so excited to play with Cam Newton. I would watch out for if I had a fantasy team, McCaffrey's my number one pick this week. I think he goes off.
Yeah.
You know, 10 receptions, 120 yards running, 120 yards catching,
wow,
and a couple of touches. He is one of the most talented guys
sure
in the NFL.
Yeah. He's been nicked up, and it's just really hard.
See the look on his face, hanging out with Cam Newton? He's like, he had, that superstar Schleen on his face.
Yeah, he was carrying the torch for all the little guys in the NFL.
The Buffalo Bills, are not as good as their hype guys. Giving the Colts a touchdown, I think the Bills will win that game, but it's a 2 or 3 point game at the most. And then the Niners go win against the Rams. The Titans exposed the Rams' problem. If you can penetrate up the middle and get Stafford rattled,
right?
That's the worst thing for a quarterback when blitzes come up the middle and the center and the two guards on the Rams' O-line is a big problem, Rich.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, Stafford was running for his life, and, then he threw – the one pick wasn't his fault. Of course, that's right through the receiver's hands, but the one thrown deep downfield to Odell Beckham was a horrible decision.
Fans who wanted to give him the MVP award I want him to go back to Detroit. You know what? I would take him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But you said it best last week, Keith. Urban Meyer is rolling that team together a little bit.
Yeah.
That defense is getting to be better. He might be a disreputable human being, but he knows how to put together a football team.
I hate to say it.
And I like that always that west-to-east travel with Jacksonville at home getting 6.5.
Yep.
I'm sorry, I like that. If the Niners win, it's going to be 24-21.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans, man, you every week you expect the Titans to fall apart.
Six in a row
How are they doing it?
Well, because who's the quarterback? Tannehill is a good quarterback.
Yeah. He's proven, right now.
The defense has gotten better, but Bud Dupree went down with an injury. I 10.5, it's a big number.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who's left on that Houston team. It's another one of those hard games to call. This Packers-Vikings game should be a great football game.
It will be.
Yeah.
The Packers are giving. I like Minnesota to win this game.
Do you really?
I do.
Wow.
A rough divisional game in Minnesota. I think Kirk Cousins is going to have a good game. Aaron Rodgers came back and played pretty well the other day. They win in a shutout.
Yeah.
Something about this game I like.
It's one of the games I got right last week. They beat the Chargers. I told you Dalvin Cook would go off. He did.
Yeah.
But this Packer defense right now is one of the top five defenses
in
the league,
well,
guys.
Yep. It is. Yeah.
So I love the under here. 40, there's a few 47. Games I really like the under here, and this is one of them. But I like that. You got to like the Vikings getting, 1.5?
1.5.
Moved down to from 2.5.
The over-under is 47.5. That's what I have,
yeah. This is a 24-21 football game.
Yep.
The Bears and the Ravens, I told you guys a couple weeks ago in my pool, I took the Ravens to go to the Super Bowl. Ever since then, they haven't played great football. Now they're talking about Lamar Jackson didn't play practice yesterday.
Another illness.
I think Justin Fields is starting to round into shape a little bit. If the Bears can play the defense that we think they could, I really like them at home getting 6.5 in one of the last games. They'll actually play next year at Soldier Field.
It's 6.5? That number's been bet up. I had 4.5 in that game.
Well, maybe it got bet down to that because I didn't look at the brand new numbers. So, 4.5 is a different animal than 6.5.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's right.
Bengals Raiders should be a pretty good game. I predict the Bengals to snap back and to the form that they looked at a couple weeks ago. I mean, I love the Raiders, but in Vegas, the Bengals under the lights. It's a game they've got to win to stay in context. So I like the Bengals. What are they giving a point to the Raiders?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
The Cardinals Seahawks is really hard for me to judge, but like I said earlier, Kyler Murray, even if he plays in the game, is not going to be as mobile, and he needs to be really mobile.
He does.
I'm surprised he's playing in this game because they have a bye next week, so they would get two more weeks of him being healthy, and then they can make that stretch run and maybe become the team that they look like.
And, you know, with the Rams' couple of losses, I think you can afford to rest him an extra week to make sure he's ready for a playoff stretch then.
You're right. His feet are so important in
yes.
his game. The way he moves, he's so nimble. And when he can't do that, he's a pretty average quarterback.
Well, yeah, when you got a bad ankle, it's hard to make those
running throws.
That's
yeah.
right. But this team really misses J.J. Watt.
Oh.
The defense has not been anywhere near what it was before Watt went down.
Yep.
Which is surprising because they have Simmons and a couple other all-stars, but, you know, it's just a fact. It's not the same defense. Chiefs-Cowboys.
Best game of the week.
And what is that, Sunday night?
No. It's Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon.
4:30. Okay. Yes. Excellent. Excellent.
Guys, the Cowboys have been really good. And like I said, I hope we don't end up ruining tremendously that we didn't draft Micah Parsons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think this is the Chiefs. They're starting to play better, and the Chiefs are like, blow me.
Okay. Yeah.
They're at home, especially in Kansas City, a very tough place to play.
They're getting 2.5 at home? What do you got?
They're given two and a half.
I mean.
But I don't care. If the Cowboys win this football game, they're for real.
Yeah.
But I think this is the game. Andy Reid, those guys are like I just said.
Yeah.
Bite me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We've been into the last three Super Bowls, guys. Let us know when you're ready to play in a Super Bowl. And this is that game.
It is. It is 56.5, the over.
I like the under. Both defense,
I
Chiefs
know
defense
it. I
playing
know it.
Better.
Yep, that's
Cowboys
a big number.
Although you might actually see, I'm telling you, a lot of people talk about this, Rich, and you follow it probably even more than I do, that the Raiders kind of allowed the Chiefs to have their offense because they were only playing one deep as far
right.
as two deep and all that. And you do have that X factor of who's the DB for the Cowboys that's got all the INTs?
Diggs.
Diggs. But he also takes a lot of chances.
He's high risk, high reward.
Yeah, and if he makes the wrong play with Tyreek Hill or Kelsey, then those are touchdowns.
Those are big days for those guys because he is an all-risk guy. Those out routes, if he sees them out, he's jumping that route, and it could be an out and up, and the next thing you know, he's standing on the sideline, and like you said, Tyreek Hill's streaking to the end zone.
I like the Chiefs a ton here. If unless the Cowboys really just run the football down the throats of the Chiefs, I like the Chiefs here. Chargers-Steelers are a mess. I mean, T.J. Watt, they left the Lions game. How much was that a determining factor in that football game? Chargers have got to turn it around. I think it's here. And then, man, the Bucs, that defense is putrid right now. I mean, they couldn't stop that 11.5-minute drive that the Washington football team laid on that defense.
That's demoralizing.
That was ridiculous. Did you see the look on Dominican Sue's face when they came off the field after that drive?
They snatched their soul.
Yeah.
I mean, they really did. And Vita Vey, the one of the D-tags, he's out now with an ACL.
I think the Bucs win, but I think the Giant, what is it, 11.5? Yeah. Anyways, that's a Monday game. Keith will be talking gut punches with J-Bo.
I still want to talk a little bit about the Lions for a second.
Go ahead.
I mean, the 16-16 tie last week with Pittsburgh, they missed an extra point that cost them the game. That kicker's gone, by the way.
Yes.
They just signed a couple of different – their sixth and seventh kickers in Detroit this season. We were spoiled for 40 years.
Yes.
With
Eddie Murray.
Eddie Murray and then
Hansen,
Jason Hansen and then
just recently.
Painter. Yes. And now we get, a bunch of schmucks trying to kick the football. They're not going to go 0-17. Great, I guess. Who cares?
I think they beat the Bears.
I do, too. I think that's a game they can win.
Really?
I think that's a game they can win.
Well, we'll see. Unless it's a real big Justin Field coming out party, which happens every once in a while. He's got the national stage to himself. That morning Thanksgiving game, we've seen the Bears really lay it on the Lions sometimes on that Thanksgiving game. But you won't see the normal – there'll be nobody in that stadium. I mean, you know, that used to be the biggest tradition.
Oh, yeah.
And, man, how few – I mean, what is – Keith, how many people do you figure have been in Ford Field the last few games?
Oh.
35,000?
Maybe.
And they boo. They're totally just disgusted with them. They leave early.
And this is when the Fords get the message that they got to do something.
Well, if they don't, if there's not the traditional huge crowd,
right?
You know, and I remember going to that game forever. First in Detroit at Tiger Stadium,
and then at
the Silverdome.
Yeah.
And the thing that's always amazing to me to that guy's game is not the, you know, there's been some great Lions victories, and I remember when they beat the Oakland Raiders. John Madden came into town, and that Lions team stunk.
Yep.
And they just put it all over the Raiders, man. The Raiders came off with that Tiger Stadium dirt on their field, you know, and everything else.
Right.
But just the amount of nachos and popcorn and hot dogs and everything else people are eating before they're going home for Thanksgiving.
For Thanksgiving dinner, yeah.
It's always been a perplexing to me, but, God, I hope you're right, Keith. I hope there's only 30,000 people for Thanksgiving Day, but I don't think there will be. It's the Lions tradition.
That's right. And people, you know, that's the one game that they buy now and go to, and because it's tradition. And, you know, they're like,
I turned down tickets for it.
Yeah.
Great seats.
You know, it's what we turn on at noon while the turkey's in the oven and watch.
Well, this is going to be a
watch
Dan
the Lions get baited.
That game's going to be a Dan Campbell special.
Yeah.
You know, God love Dan Campbell took over the O coordinator duties, and I mean, if he could have kicked the football, he would have gone out there and kicked the football.
The kickers they signed, Riley Patterson off the New England practice squad, and a guy named Aldrick Rosas, who was a 2018 Pro Bowler. So maybe it'll be Patterson kicking Sunday, so maybe they can have a little bit of luck there. But if they have any one of their three kickers in the past 4 years, they win that game.
Exactly.
All right, guys, when we return here on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Faceoff, we'll talk a little Red Wings, talk about a little NBA basketball. Pistons starting to look like a team that I thought they would be once they had the first pick in the draft.
They're coming.
All that and more here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odell Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by our good friends at Odell Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And Keith, as we were just talking, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You could almost say about that about the three different phases of what the Red Wings are putting out on the ice right now.
Yeah, the good last night was Jovani Smith getting a goal, you know, his first point of the year. A lot of people are really got their fingers crossed that he's going to turn out to be a player. He finally got one in last night, and you know, but they lose 5-2. You know, that's bad. The third goal in a game in a row, they've given up at least 5 goals. And the ugly is the defensive hockey that they're playing right now. Their defense is really scrambling. They're giving up way too many shots. Greiss didn't look real good last night. He's had some really good games and some really bad games. The really bad games are usually a result of a real scrambly defense. And right now, they're struggling defensively. They did get their goal, their captain back last night. Dylan Larkin played after a false positive took him out of the previous game in the third period. And I thought when that happened, they might have a chance in Las Vegas last night. But you know, Vegas is a pretty good team too.
Yeah,
and as Rich pointed out,
they're missing
some players,
missing a lot of players.
They're missing a lot of players.
A lot of players.
Yeah,
and so I thought that's why the Wings. This is one they could get on the road.
Yep.
Because they've won some games on the road this year. They've proven that. And like you said, in the pregame interview, Dylan Larkin was like a little kid. He was so excited to rejoin the team because he was absolutely stunned, obviously, when the test came up positive for him. So, and like you said, they found out it was a false positive. Boom, he quickly rejoined
the
team.
Did he have a fake vaccination?
Right.
They go on to play Saturday, tomorrow. They're playing the worst team in the NHL, the Arizona
Coyotes. Or whatever.
And then they're really... They're like Detroit a couple of years ago, maybe worse, actually. They're rebuilding, and they're really
ugly. Kind of a must-win.
Detroit's got to find a way to win this game and get well and come home and start winning some hockey games.
Well, the other tenant in the Pete's Arena, as you like to call it, Keith, Cade Cunningham starting to look like the first pick in the draft. They've won a few games lately. And Cunningham is looking like the guy that I thought he was. You know, probably the best overall player in the draft. Might not be the best scorer.
Right.
Or assist play, you know, but he just had, you see it, Rich, he is comfortable on the basketball
floor. And what people have to remember, he did not have a preseason this year. That ankle kept him out of a lot. He played some summer league ball but left that early and then did not play any. So he's needed a few games to get up to speed. And since he's after like game two or three, he's really coming around. The three-point shot still isn't there, but that'll come. He's not afraid to shoot it.
It's coming.
It's coming, yeah. He's
coming. He was not a great three-point shooter in college.
Right. He can drive to the hole.
Yeah.
That kid, in contested shots, I mean, he'll go in there with the big guys and put it high off the glass to go in. I mean, I really like his game a lot.
Play some decent defense, yes. You know, and he's good at shading off his player and, you know, playing man/help.
Yes.
And, this team has got some things to look forward to.
JC, you said just a minute ago he might not be the best all-around player, but he might
be. No, I said he is the best
overall
player.
Player. And it's the intangibles that we've seen so far that get me excited.
Yeah.
You know, when crunch time comes, down the stretch, give me the damn ball and let's do something with it here.
Yeah, and he's already directing traffic.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, he's not, give me the damn ball and I'm going to score it.
No, but
exactly.
I know what to do with
it.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
Like Larry Bird.
And like Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Going back.
Isaiah took it when he needed to.
That's right.
And dished it off when somebody else had a better shot.
And you saw that in that battle with Jalen Green a week ago in Houston. Jalen Green would come down and it was about him scoring.
Yeah.
He wanted to get his shot up because he felt that competition because he wanted to make Detroit pay for not taking another. And Cade Cunningham kept cool, smooth, even though he was getting trash-talked all the heck in his face, he didn't take the bait.
By the way,
Pistons have tonight?
I had my they got Golden State, but I had my eyes examined yesterday by our buddy Rob Aubrey.
Right.
And he made that very point. He said, I watched that whole game the other night with Cade Cunningham against Jalen Green.
Right.
And he made the same point you did about what a kind of a me type player Jalen Green was, while Cunningham was doing everything else they needed to do to win the basketball game. Yeah.
But you want to either, if you can't watch it, the Piston game will be on here on Up North Sports Radio. But you probably want to watch it because the best show in basketball, maybe since Michael Jordan is playing right now, Steph Curry is.
Didn't he get another 40 last night? I mean, it was just crazy. I mean,
down 16 to the Cavaliers in the fourth quarter. They outscored them 38-8.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Steph Curry has like 30, 40-point games in his career, and the next like nine guys below him have a total of 26.
And he's not a gunner.
No,
he plays a team game. Right. He gets the ball, but he can't be guarded.
Yeah,
he just can't be guarded. He's the first guy that you look at, and I wish Chuck Daly were around, and we'll see what the Steph Curry rules would be. You can't body up people like the Pistons used to do on Michael Jordan. No. I don't know if you can body Steph Curry anyway.
I mean, you pick him up at half court, he's going to blow by you. You just can't. I mean, it's really you need more than one person.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting if the Pistons could keep it close.
But he did get dinged up a little bit last night. They're talking he might be iffy, but they said he played through it last night.
I hope.
But, I hope for Piston fans that go to the game.
Yeah.
He's like Jerry's.
Well, this is the only time you see him all year, right?
Yeah, must see.
But you know what's going to happen for sure is your buddy Draymond Green will have a big game.
Yeah.
Pistons are only getting 7.
Really?
That's a surprise. So
maybe they know something.
Maybe a sign of respect there.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think it's a sign of respect.
He might be hurt.
Steph Curry might not
play.
But you know what? I think even without Steph Curry, the Warriors, man, they got everybody is playing great for them.
Jordan Poole, the Wiseman kid. I mean, I know.
Yeah, Jordan Poole's been a revelation. Whenever he plays, he averages 15. And Gary Payton II has been fantastic, and Andrew Wiggins has resurrected his career there. I mean, that team is looking like odds on. They're like still fourth in the to win the NBA championship. I'm like, I don't even care if you bring Kyrie Irving back. I don't see how they beat the Warriors.
Exactly. And they had that
Klay
big matchup.
Thompson is coming.
Yeah, Klay Thompson. There's more help coming, which is crazy to think.
Can we talk college basketball
a second? I left you a little room.
Yeah. What's going on in the Big Ten, JC?
I think that it's early.
It's early. I get that. This is the time, though, that dominant Big Ten teams win a lot of basketball games. Let's remember that last year they had 9 teams in the tournament.
Yeah.
The average seed was 5.5. So they were pretty well seeded, and they won 8 games.
Transfer portal.
And now you start this season, Monday, number 10 Illinois loses. Number 2, number 4 Michigan loses. Wednesday, number 20 Maryland loses. Thursday, last night.
Well, who did they lose to, Keith?
Well, I got them right here.
Yeah. I know who they lost to Marquette. Won again yesterday. I made money on them. You know who's coaching Marquette now?
I do not know.
Shaka Smart.
Okay.
Yes. Okay.
Texas?
Yeah, guess what? They got 10 guys that can press you up and down the floor just like he did at VCU, and Illinois is missing
Coburn.
Illinois will be better.
Maryland lost to George Mason, a pretty good basketball player.
Yeah.
I get it. And Xavier beat Ohio State.
I'm just saying.
I get that.
And like I told you off air, Seton Hall is probably going to win the Big East. That is a great basketball team.
Yeah.
They lost 2 guys off a fantastic team last year that a lot of people thought were going to be a dark horse to win the national championship. And Michigan's got a number of new players that they're trying to fit in some pieces. You know, I watched most of that game, Rich. They seemed disjointed.
Yep.
The new point guard that they have.
They look young right now. They just, like you said, I've watched one game so far, and the one game I've watched is that they just, to me, look like a young team still figuring things out.
Yeah.
I do want to bring up Michigan State the other night. They pretty impressive win at Butler, a tough place to play.
Yeah,
and they dominated from start to finish.
At the field house.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that Butler team. I don't even know. I saw the coach, and I'm like, who is that?
Right.
So I'm not saying that your mother's Butler basketball team.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but that was a good by Michigan State, get back on track, get some wins. You know, that tough loss.
That was good.
Generally speaking, Big Ten basketball doesn't start out that great. You know, when they play that Big Ten ACC division, they don't win that series most of the time.
I get that.
They've got all these different things, the Charlton series and the Dave Gavitt Cup and everything else. And I think the other thing Juwan Howard would have liked to win that basketball game, but he would rather see what was going on and how they're going to react. You know, they missed a couple free throws down the stretch. That game should have, by all rights, gone into overtime.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He missed the first end of the free throw and then tried to bank it off, and it goes in. So, you know, it's just basketball's – people win, people lose basketball games. Shots go in, shots don't go in. They've got to figure out the offense with a brand-new point guard who is a senior transfer.
Yeah.
Who looks – but I don't – right now he doesn't look as comfortable as Smith did last year.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Juwan Howard, new 5-year contract going to 25-26.
Yeah, but Mel Tucker clipped it by a mile.
Yeah, he stole the limelight, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. As we were talking about on the NBA, it is the 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, a new customer can place their first bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, right now is the perfect time to give it a shot. And I tell you, folks, it's easy to bet NBA basketball. Just take a look at my record. I bet on NBA FanDuel because when I win, they pay me in as little 2 hours, and there are odd boosts. I love these odd boost people. You've got to check them out before you start making your best because I've made a lot of dough on them, and there are specials every day. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app.
Already have FanDuel Sportsbook? FanDuel is hooking up all customers up with a $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend can get $50 too. Just invite them using the exclusive referral link at the refer icon.
Or sign up with promo code WGRY to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every NBA moment more. That's promo code WGRY, 21 and over and present in Michigan to win, to play. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-refundable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Up North Sports Radio's Friday Face-Off. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off here. Brought to us by O'Dowd Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, Jerry Coyne, Keith Gave, and Rich Calkins. And guys, busiest time of year right now, especially when the Detroit Tigers step in and make a big pitching acquisition, which pretty much, Rich, precluded the fact that they weren't going to sign Justin Verlander.
That's exactly right. Justin signing the one-year deal to go $25 million to go back to Houston. But, we all wondered, were the Tigers going to put their money where the mouth was? They said they were going to do some signings, blah, blah, blah. Well, they came out of the gates firing by signing,
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And Carlos Correa meeting with his old manager.
Yes. There's some positive things with these Tigers right now.
They sign him.
Oh man,
watch out. They're going to be a really good baseball team this
spring. Oh, gee, guys.
I mean,
what did I say before? That means if they do sign Correa, and I still think it's a long shot to sign Correa.
I do too.
Especially as Steinbrenner saying that, I hope that fans understand that they're going to have to put behind the cheating scandal.
Yeah.
So the Yankees are going to throw big money at him.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
Correa, but there's other shortstops in there. As we talked about a few times, that was their worst WAR on the field.
Yes.
They were minus 3.2. That means because of their shortstop situation, the Tigers lost 3.5 games just on their own.
Yeah.
And Carlos Correa is plus 6.9. So you're talking about a 10-game differential just based on one player.
Yep.
However, I like the Story kid from out in
Seager Story.
Trevor Story.
There's a handful of guys
out there that can help.
But they still, if they're going to really make a run, they're going to have to get that outfield bat.
Yeah.
I don't know if Castellanos is in their plans, but they're going to have to get somebody else.
Another bat.
Better than Grossman.
Yeah, that's what they said. CBS Sports put they need three things. Add another professional bat, like you said. And a couple of the guys, of course, Correa was one. What about Starling Marte? Older guy, but he plays center field, left field, 33 years old, and he had an 841 OPS. He stole 47 bases as a 33-year-old.
Wow.
I mean, so he still got wheels.
Yeah.
He had, not a big power. He had 12 home runs, all that, but hit .310 for the season. I mean, the guy can still play. And for a one-year, two-year thing,
There's a lot of options out there. But I don't think that's what they need, Rich. They need a bat, a big bat, power bat. They don't have somebody that scares you in that lineup. Even if they got Correa, that is not the power bat that I'm talking about.
No, but it's a number three bat in your lineup, and with Cabrera at four, probably
Candelaria at five,
but the bigger bat you're talking about at five, Candelaria at six.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of options. It's exciting to talk about this as opposed to who they're going to trade at the deadline for more prospects.
Yeah. And Jason, you were talking about what Correa does offensively, but he was a plus 53 in defensive runs saved. So that shows what a defensive guy can do, plus have that bat. He had 26 home runs, 90-plus RBIs. He would be the ideal guy, but he's going to get so much money.
I guess the question is that if he met with A.J. Hinch, was Miguel Cabrera there as well?
Yeah.
Good question.
If I were A.J., I'd get Miguel and go have a talk with Chris Illich.
Well,
there you go.
I'm sure they had a talk after what Correa, Chris, I got you a $2 million per year discount.
It would be one of those don't tell your mom conversations.
Yeah, no kidding.
Keith, you had something from our good friend the Swamp.
One thing, I was privileged to work with Mick McCabe at the Free Press for a long time, one of my good friends and so on. But he covered a football game last year. He's the son of Swami, right?
Yes.
Covering football games this time of year, high school playoff football games. He was at Belleville for the regional final between Belleville and Dearborn Fortson last week.
Right.
And he was, bless his heart, the old-fashioned way. He was the last guy, the only sports writer in the press box writing a story filing his story. He's the last guy to leave. The lights are still on the field. When he walked out, tried to get out, all the gates were locked. He felt like he was in jail. He said the nuns at Cabrini were, you know, at Allen Park Cabrini were right. I did wind up in jail. He had to call 911 to get the firefighters to come and help get him out. The one guy who was supposed to, the normal lockup guy was in Iowa for some reason, and his replacement left early to go deer hunting, probably up here somewhere.
Sure.
And they finally had to get out the mini jaws of life and cut the lock so that Mick could go home Friday night. But pretty good story.
That's a great story.
And by the way, he was hit rich. 27-5 last week in his.
How amazing is that?
Yep.
I mean, pretty incredible.
Thanks, guys.
Speaking of high school football, that dial tone you hear is us reaching out to Coach Eric Sugars from the Traverse City Central Trojans.
Hi, you've reached the voicemail of Eric Sugars, head varsity football coach at Traverse City Central High School.
Well, we'll call that right back, Rich.
We will. Obviously, they are taking on South Lyon tomorrow down at Greenville at 1 o'clock. A 1 o'clock kickoff down there. Again, a lot of our Northern Michigan teams are all going to that greater Grand Rapids area. And very familiar with that area, of course. But TC Central at 11-1 taking on an undefeated South Lyon team should be a great game.
Hello?
Hey, Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. We're live on the radio, so if you're going to swear, just say Trojans.
I'm at school, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I know you are. Thanks for taking time out. You know, a weird schedule this week, everybody playing on Saturday. Does that affect your team much, Coach?
Not much. You know, I think it's just we kind of bump the days down this week. You know, our Monday was a Tuesday practice, and then today's practice is we look at it like a Thursday practice. So, you know, it's a little change in terms of your preparation. You know, if like I said, when I woke up this morning, we're not playing a Friday night football game for the first time in 11 weeks or so. So, but that's all right. In the semifinals, we knew it's a Saturday afternoon game, and so our routine will be the same tomorrow morning. Just wake up and have our pregame routine like we always do, travel a little bit, stop and get out to eat, and we'll walk through and then show up at the stadium. So.
Right. Now, Coach, you guys made it this far last year, okay, to the semifinals. Is there anything you did differently this year to prepare? Of course, different team you're playing, but still, any different preparation, travel schedule, anything like that than what you did last year?
No, I think we're pretty routine. You know, I think we're process-oriented, and we stick to that process and our routines, and that's comfortable for the kids and comfortable for our coaches and staff. And so I think it's something you have to do this time of year. You don't want to change too much at this time of year just because you're in semifinals or it's a bigger game, you know. It's still, you know, I think the kids know the added stakes of it. You win this game and you get to play at Ford Field, and so that's the exciting part of it.
You got that right, Coach. So South Lyon is the opponent. Is there anybody that you've played so far this year that they kind of remind you of?
You know, it's a great question. I was thinking about that, someone asked me that earlier in the week. And, you know, they remind me a little bit, you know, it's kind of like Caledonia a little bit last week, in terms of like spread you out. But, South Lyon, for the most part, they want you to get run sideline to sideline, and, they want to stretch you horizontally and vertically on the field. And so they got some athletes that we have to contend with. And, you know, we got to play a great football game. We got to get to our run fits and get after them, and on the other side of the ball, defensively, they're the same way. They kind of attacking style and come at you. So we got to be prepared for that. But you know, there's not really a team, I guess, to compare them with at this point. But you know, we're just ready for this one.
Right, and Coach, in my scouting report, looking at the South Lyon team, looks like they have a couple of good running backs, and so that'll certainly something that you guys will be keying on.
Yeah, you know, they have a couple of brothers, the Vacassi brothers. They're pretty good athletes on that football team, and a running back is really shifty, and those guys you got to account for. I mean, at this point in the game, you know, at this point in the season, those guys, the teams you're going to run into are going to have good athletes, and they just got to be prepared for that.
I got to imagine, Coach, that you're going to use the same formula that's been so successful for you, maybe even to a, even more of an extent, is running behind that big offensive line, controlling the clock, and keeping their explosive players off the field.
Yeah, you know, that's the strength of our team. You know, our offensive line, certainly, we've been running the football a lot more this year and running it with success. And so, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you pretty much stick to what's got you here. You know, you don't change too much. It's not like you dig into the bag of tricks to pull something out. It's just a matter of do what you do, do it well, continue to stay disciplined on both sides of the ball, and execute at a high level when you need to. And that's, you know, the teams that do that are the teams that will advance.
Yeah, Coach, I mean, you guys have just consistently all year gotten it done. Again, certainly by scheduling a team like DeWitt early in the year, you had it, obviously, you're willing to possibly take an L in the loss column early in the year because you know that's going to prep you for some of these teams you may have long playoff runs against.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that's why you play a tough non-conference schedule, you know. You play that schedule so you can prepare yourself for prepare you for that. I mean, you want to play tough teams early on in the year, so when you get to the playoffs, you've had some tests throughout the season, so that's a key part to what we do.
It also helps if you throw in a nice 75-80-yard kickoff return. It's always going to help your cause.
Yeah, it is. You know, yeah, I thought we executed in all facets of the game last week, offense, defense, and special teams, and we certainly have to do that again. And at this point, everything gets magnified, and you just got to be sound. And I think our kids understand that, you know, and our preparation-wise, you know, you know that coming in. So you got to be great in all phases.
Yeah. Coach, have you seen that? Have teams now, are they trying to kick away from Bordeaux on those kicks now, or have they not necessarily seen everything that we've seen?
You know, some teams have. You know, I think it's a matter of sometimes where the ball bounces, too, so. But yeah, he's a talented kid and, just a great young man for us. And, you know, he's a guy that we want to get the ball to. And sometimes that's another, you know, that's why I put him on special teams. It's another area where he can excel. And, I hope that continues.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the best thing probably about your team, this year, Coach, is the fact that all three phases are super solid. You've got a really good defense. You're hard to run the ball against. You don't give up a lot of huge plays. You haven't given up. Have you given up any touchdowns on special teams this year? I don't think so.
You know, we gave up a kick return early on in the year against Brother Rice. We gave up one of those. So, I think, yeah, you're right. You got to be great with that. So. And you learn from that. Every time you kick, every time you play, I mean, those are opportunities to grow and get better. And that's why you watch film and you make your corrections. You know, you find your correctables and coachables, right? So, we find that on film and get better week to week. And, our guys believe in that. And, you know, that's got us to this point.
Coach, have you played down on the Greenville field before?
You know what our JV team did last year? But our varsity team has not. Our JV team played down there. I haven't. Varsity hasn't. So some of the guys will be familiar with the setting and setup down there.
Coach, I'm curious. I don't think the people from South Lyon are listening, and we're not but if you guys win the toss, are you going to take the ball first, or are you going to defer?
Come on, guys. I can't just hold that information. So. Doesn't matter who's listening. Someone is.
Nope. Coach, that's right. Do not give your opponent even a sliver of an advantage.
Exactly right.
So I guess I got one last question for you, Coach. Are you expecting a big crowd to follow the buses down tomorrow?
Yeah, that's the exciting part. The community's kind of rallied around us. The guys are hearing it from friends and alumni and things of that nature. So, we're excited about that opportunity You know, we're in the semifinals again for the second straight year. What a feat by these guys! But like we've talked about, they want to take that next step and, you know, get over the hump and get a chance to play, you know, for a state championship.
Yeah, Coach. I mean, you've represented Northern Michigan really well, and I know you guys will again tomorrow. And, unless JC's got another question, we just appreciate you joining us each and every week. Usually it's a Saturday, but the game is tomorrow. Best of luck tomorrow. And as always, go Trojans.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for what you do for high school football. And, you bet. Go Trojans.
All right, Coach Eric Sugars headed down. So where are they playing? Greenville.
Yeah, Greenville, yeah.
All right. Good luck, Coach.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
All right, there you go, Rich. We'll play that interview again tomorrow for the high school scoreboard show. We were scrambling a little bit trying to figure out what we're going to do, but let's give them the preview of the rest of the games. Like we said, not an unusual situation. Usually when you get to the semifinals, all those games are on Saturday. Kind of going to be tough for Michigan State fans to figure out what to do here.
Yes, for sure. And on the other side of that bracket, real interesting, Livonia Franklin takes on Warren D. LaSalle.
Yeah.
Of course, Warren D. LaSalle, heavily favored. Livonia Franklin was one of those teams that made it into the playoffs at a 4-5 record. Okay, in years past, because they played such a tough schedule this year, they made it in. And look at the run that they've made all the way to the semifinals. So,
yeah, De La Salle they went to the finals last year, and they lost a few kids. You know, I don't know if they're impregnable or not, but, I mean, really the way this shakes out is that's who TC Central should be playing in Ford Field.
Right.
But like you said, Rich, at this stage of the game, you can't count your chickens until you cross the ball across the goal line a couple times. I really wish that Coach Sugars had answered that question just to see, like, do I want my defense on the field first, or do I want to get, up by 7 right away? It seems to me, that they like playing with the lead.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, that's kind of what they're used to. You know, absolutely. Like you said, JC, they have, I think Josh Burnham, he's throwing for 1,300 yards this year. He's at 900 and some yards rushing. So he's going to have, 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards passing. And
he is a true dual threat quarterback. Yes. And like you said, he's thrown a lot of touchdown passes to Bordeaux.
Yeah.
He doesn't get, with that offensive line, they're both good run blocking and pass blocking, and you never know with him. I mean, you toss him the ball, he's got an RPO, and you put the defense on the spot quite a bit. So my best guess is that if South Lyon wins the toss, they want the ball first.
Right.
Both of these teams probably want to play with the lead. I know that's simplistic. A lot of old-school coaches say, well, we always defer.
Always, yeah. And that's usually what you see across the spectrum of high school, college, and pro nowadays is they defer because they hope to score late in the second quarter and get the ball back. Yes.
But, man, there's something to be said for playing with the lead from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Unless you think your defense is not prone to give up a touchdown right away, but that's what happened against DeWitt.
Yeah, so, exactly, and that's what. And real quick, JC, there's other Northern Michigan teams still going.
Absolutely,
a couple of teams playing for a Division VIII championship or Division actually 8-man football
championship.
Yeah.
Right.
Sutton's Bay is going to take on Adrian Lenawee Christian. They're Adrian Lenawee Christian, the defending state champs. So they're going to play up at the Upper Dome, Superior Dome in Marquette tomorrow.
Go Sutton's Bay.
That's right. Very cool. And then obviously Traverse City St. Francis, they take on Pawama Westphalia, Division 7 matchup. That's good luck to St. Francis. That's going to be a great contest. And Ubley and Beale City are the other teams. Central Michigan area, Beale City, again.
Well, let's go down the whole. We're going to have, we will replay that interview with Coach Sugars tomorrow during the high school scoreboard show, and we will have an interview with Coach Josh Sellers from the from St. Francis as well. So we won't be able to report on scores, but we'll be able to prep you for a whole hour. We're going to be closing this in a minute, but let's just go through the schedule of games that will be played tomorrow to send the teams to Ford Field.
All right. In Division One, JC, Rochester Adams takes on Grand Blanc. Both teams undefeated 12-0. Both teams very similar in playoff points, 81-79. So it should be a great matchup. That matchup is taking place in Howell. In the other side of the bracket, Sterling Heights Stevenson takes on Belleville.
Right.
The Belleville team a little bit better, right, 11-1 compared to Stevenson's 10-2 record. That game's going to be played at Troy Athens. We already discussed what's going on in Division II, of course,
yep,
with Central and South Lyon. In Division III, St. Joseph with an 8-4 record, they get to take on DeWitt. 11-1 DeWitt team right now certainly heavily favored.
They're going to be need to praying to St. Joseph.
That
yeah.
game's going to be played at Jenison, and St. Joe with 51 playoff points, DeWitt 76. Big difference there. The other side of the bracket, you got Mason at 10-2, takes on the tall task of taking on Detroit Martin Luther King at 11-1, and they have 20 more playoff points.
Yeah,
than
Martin
Mason.
Luther King is a big-time football program.
And they're playing that at Wayne Memorial Stadium down
Wayne State.
Yeah. So
that's essentially a home game for
Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, no question. In Division IV, Edwardsburg continues to roll, but they take on the high-scoring Hudsonville Unity Christian team. That should be a good matchup. Hudsonville Unity Christian, of course, beat Cadillac last week. That game is being played at Portage Northern. Again, 1 o'clock kickoff for that. The other side of that bracket, Freeland takes on Chelsea. Chelsea at 12-0, they have 70 playoff points compared to Freeland's 57. So great, that game is being played at Fitzpatrick Field in Lapeer. So Division 5, let's take a look at that. Frankenmuth, undefeated. They take on a very good Grand Rapids Catholic Central team.
Well, they have easily handled Kingsley, which was kind of a surprise. So that should be a hell of a football game.
Should be a good one. That one's going to be played at Mount Pleasant High. We were hoping that TC Central might get lined up at
Mount Pleasant, but
I was thinking that the Central game would be played at CMU's football team because they played earlier in the week.
Yeah.
So, but that didn't work out. But anyway, Portland on the other side of the bracket. Portland takes on Marine City again. That was Division Five. In Division Six, Standish Sterling continues to roll. This is kind of a surprise with their 44 playoff points. They take on Lansing Catholic. Lansing Catholic, very good team, 11-1 this year, 59 playoff points, and that's going to be played in Clare. So that's
Standish, a field they played on before. So, that's going to be a help.
And that should have a big crowd there from Standish Sterling for sure. I mean, that's just a quick jaunt down the road there.
Yep.
In the other side of the bracket, Michigan Center at 11-1 takes on Warren Michigan Collegiate, and that one's going to be played in Ypsilanti. Let's go to Division 7. We obviously talked a little bit of the game with St. Francis. Right now, there we go. The Pawama Westphalia, a very good team. They're 12-0, taking on St. Francis down at Cedar Springs High.
Yep.
And, again, Cedar Springs, not too far from Greenville, that Grand Rapids area, all of that. The other side of the bracket, Lawton takes on traditional power Jackson Lumen Christie.
Yeah. A great sports tradition, hockey, basketball, football, baseball, always competitive in every sport there. So,
yes,
should be another dynamite game.
Absolutely. And in Division 8, Ubley takes on Beale City. Both teams evenly matched as far as playoff points. That game's going to be played at Mount Morris at 1 o'clock kickoff. And the other side of that bracket in Division 8, Ottawa Lake Whiteford takes on Hudson. Hudson with 51 playoff points seems to be that game's going to be played at Adrian College.
All right, we'll have a more in-depth dive into some of these games tomorrow on the Bill Marsh High School scoreboard show. I want to thank our good friends at Fick & Sons for presenting us with the Pigskin Preview and the Sportscape. Fick & Sons is your local, competitive, and reliable propane provider, but there's so much more. Home and commercial, heating fuel. Visit Charlie's Country Corners on I-75 at 4 Mile Road for Arby's, a convenience store with everything from coffee to car accessories, Super 8 Motel by Wyndham, and a full-service diesel garage. You can visit Fick & Sons in Roscommon at the Sunny Spot Fuel and Convenience Store. Fuel up with Fick on M-72, stop at the Bear Lakes Marathon and Convenience Store, or at the Lincoln Marathon for fuel, propane cylinder refills and exchanges, off-road diesel, and a deli coming soon. Find out which Fick & Sons is near you at fickandsons.com, and that was the Sportscape. We will have interviews, as I said, with Josh Scheller. We'll replay the Eric Sugars, and we'll have a couple of the local coaches with the season reviews, Rich.
Yeah, looking forward to that tomorrow again at 10 a.m. right here at 101.1. And thank you to Fick and Sons for always supporting kids in Northern Michigan sports. They've done it for a long time. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So thanks a lot for listening. And thanks to our good friends at Odawa Casino. We'll be here tomorrow.